Well, it's great to be with you here this morning. We had a great evening last night at the Spring Hill Suites and went out to Murphy's. I'm a prime rib guy, so that was really, really good. But thank you for the opportunity. You know, the last time I preached from this particular passage, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, was 25 years ago. 25 years ago, we were meeting at that time in a school down in Chandler, let me ask you a question: has the world changed in 25 years? Any difference from today and tomorrow? If you were a younger person today, things might seem pretty normal, but if you're as old as I am or older, and I'm 52. Things are really, really different. I mean, Leave It to Beaver is no longer, now it's Modern Family, right? It's all these changes we're in what Bill O'Reilly calls the cultural wars, and all kinds of things are changing. And in the face of this, believers are typically ready for the wrath of God to fall, right? That's good. And we even have an idea of what the wrath of God looks like. We probably think it looks something like this, right? This is Hurricane Mitch, I think. When it falls on a particular place, we figure that what? They deserve it, right? When Katrina fell on New Orleans, we thought, well, they deserve it. We had this idea of the wrath of God that it is thunder and lightning, fire and rain, terrible destruction, everybody dies. We think that basically it's God losing his temper. But let's look at this passage of Scripture to get a more accurate view of what God's wrath is and what causes it. Now, I'm going to be here by God's grace next week as well, and we'll finish this passage, Romans 1, today verses 18 through 23, and next week, the rest of the chapter from 24 on. But we need to get an idea of what God's wrath really is, because this passage explains it and what causes the wrath of God. Because we typically think that sin causes the wrath of God, and in fact, it's part of it, and yet sin, well, we'll find out, is the wrath of God. So first question, what causes God to be wrathful? What causes God to be wrathful? We think we know. Here's what we think it is. God's wrath is God's anger at people who are worse sinners than I am. Amen? People who do things that I don't do are under the wrath of God. I'm under the grace of God, and the other people are under the wrath because they sin in ways that I don't. We look at homosexuality, for instance, in our day and age. We say the homosexuality is bringing the wrath of God, right? That's what we assume. We're going to find out that God's wrath is actually caused by something else other than that. Verse 18, Romans chapter 1. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Now that's very interesting. The suppression of truth, the rejection of God's truth, and the embracing of other things. And if it's not God's truth, what is it? A lie. And so it's the suppression, the holding down, the rejection of God's truth, and the embracing then of other things. Now we think that God's wrath is hot anger, but rather it is really this, the settled and active opposition of God's holy nature to everything that is evil. God is a perfectly righteous being. Everything he does is right. He does nothing wrong. And so his natural response to sin, to unrighteousness, is what we call wrath. So we're looking at this and we say what causes the wrath of God? It is being revealed against the wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Now, this is critical because the main problem that people have is that we look at the truth of God and say, I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. And not only am I not buying it, but I'm going to suppress it so that you don't buy it. I am going to suppress and reject the truth of God. Because, and you know why this is so serious? Why it's so serious that we reject the truth of God? It's because God has gone to great lengths to make it clear to us. Look at verse 19. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. Has God made it plain to them? Plain basically means make it clear, make it evident, make it visible. Let me ask you a question. What do I have in my shirt pocket up here? What do I have? Somebody said a pen. I have two things in here that identify me as an old person. Now, I got LASIK a couple years ago, but as it goes on, I still need these once in a while for reading. And the other thing I have in here is this little soft pouch that holds my hearing aid, right? Okay. So I just made that clear to you. Now, you could have guessed all day to see what I had in my pocket. And looking at my age, you could have said, well, he's probably got a pair of glasses and a hearing aid protector. But I made it clear to you. Has God made the truth clear to us? Has he made it? Has he revealed it in ways that we can understand? Very truthfully, he has. He has made it plain to us in three ways. The creation of the world, the creation that we can see, the Bible, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like to add the fourth way he reveals it, the truth, and that is through every transformed believer who walks in a dark world as the lights of the world. Because what did Jesus call us? He said, you are the light of the world. So we are a fourth part of that process. God has made it plain, and God has made it plain because it is his righteousness that demands it. God's righteousness demands that God do certain things. He doesn't have a choice, in a sense. As a righteous God, he must reveal truth. And he must reveal it plainly and clearly. Now, we are all used, we recognize this verse from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day they pour out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. God makes it plain. But you know, we sometimes stop here, but you know, God makes it plain in other ways. We are surrounded every day by billions of miracles. Now, I'm a grandpa, so I get to do this. This is Jackson, our fifth grandson. And he was born 2.5, almost 3 weeks ago. He was born tomorrow, 3 weeks ago. And you know, when that little guy was put into my arms, and we looked at him, I just said, just look at this miracle. These flat little ears, this beautiful little nose, the eyes that open, and he could, you know, and all those, the miracle of birth. And this happens over and over, billions and even trillions of times in the world, and we have gotten so used to it that we don't see the miracle that it is. But God has surrounded us with miracle after miracle. And in the process of that, what has been man's response? It is to suppress the truth by wickedness. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Hey, here's the deal. If it's good enough to satisfy God and his righteousness, then it's way better than we need. If it's good enough, if God does it so perfectly that he says, I'm satisfied with how I have revealed the truth, then it's way better than anything we would require. But it's in our sinfulness we have many times rejected the truth. I loved what this first song we sang today. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountain. And as a group of believers, we sit here and say, we can sing this from the bottom of our heart. We believe that I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that shed the flowing seas abroad and lift the lofty skies. But the non-believer looks at that and says, no. And comes up with another way that those things happen. What caused President Nixon to resign? Anybody remember? Cover up, right? It wasn't that he did anything wrong. It's that he suppressed the truth. And in suppressing the truth, a world that loves to suppress the truth found it more convenient to reveal that truth and to remove him from office. Has our country been involved in the suppression of truth? For sure. And we really have to look no further, do we, than the whole creation evolution issue. We have, as a country, chosen to legally suppress the truth, certainly in our schools, where it's no longer legal to even mention that it's possible that there's another way that the creation could be explained. Listen to this ruling. Oh, got to get off the glasses. Listen to this ruling against a creationism act in Louisiana. The statute that was passed by the Louisiana legislature prohibited the teaching of evolution in public schools except when it was accompanied by instruction in creation science. The court found that by advancing the religious belief that a supernatural being created mankind, which is embraced by the term creation science, the act impermissibly endorses religion. So if God did it, and if we want to teach that God did it, then that's unacceptable because we as a nation can't permit anything that advances belief in God. We are more interested in suppressing the truth. Another court ruling by the by a district court in Dover, Delaware, said this about the requirement that intelligent design be taught. Intelligent design is merely the teaching that some intelligent force designed the world because the evidence states it. And does the evidence state it? Absolutely. These miracles are unbelievably intricate. Did you know what the chances are? According to a evolutionary scientist and atheist, Michael Denton, writing in the book Evolution of Theory in Crisis, said that in order for one DNA molecule to evolve, the chances of that happening, 1 in 10 to the 40,000th. And he says in the book, absolutely, it's ridiculous, it's ridiculous, it can't happen. Because it has to be a reproducible DNA. Can you imagine after billions of years of trying, DNA is finally produced, only to find out that it can't reproduce itself? Okay, let's try again for number two. DNA is an incredibly intricate phenomenon. Cannot be explained by random chance. And yet here's what Judge Jones ruled that against the intelligent design. Intelligent design cannot uncouple itself from its creationist and therefore religious antecedents. In reference to whether intelligent design is science, Judge Jones wrote that ID is not science and cannot be judged a valid accepted scientific theory as it has failed to publish in peer-reviewed journals, engage in research and testing, and gain acceptance in the scientific community. In other words, because intelligent design is not accepted in the scientific community, we can't teach it, even though it explains all the evidence perfectly. Are we involved in the United States in the suppression of truth? Have been for a long time. What will that cause then as God's wrath begins to roll out? It will cause rejection of the truth leaves mankind in deepening darkness. So this is important that we understand this, because we're looking at a process here. We're not looking at, you know, the world blowing up and exploding in one unexplained moment. We're talking about God's process of revealing wrath and how it rolls out. Because you know what? God's wrath has a purpose. God's wrath does not have the purpose of destroying people. God's wrath has the purpose of bringing people to Himself as they recognize that the system they bought into is a lie. Verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him like we did this morning, giving thanks to God. But their thinking became, and that's a very interesting word, it became futile. This was part of the process, and their foolish hearts were darkened, again, part of the process. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals. The sad truth is that when we walk away from God, when we turn away from God, there we have chosen a path that is going to become more dark as time goes on. I watched a show one time where the best minds in science were all together in a think tank, and their goal was to discover how the universe began. Because they decided, since God is not truthful when He said in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Since they had rejected that truth, suppressed that truth, walked away from that truth, what were they left with? They were left with looking for a needle in a haystack, and there ain't no needle in that haystack. And so they came up with these, you know what the theory, and this was the best minds, they came up finally with a theory that our universe was created because there was another universe before us that collapsed on itself, exploded, and produced this one. And how did that one come? Well, there was another one before that one that collapsed on itself and exploded. And then they theorized, or a long billions and 30 billion years at last count, chain of these collapsing and exploding universes. But you know what they couldn't ever say? Where did the first one come from? Because logically, it must. Every cause has an effect, right? And we are all causes, and that means we are all effects, and we must have a cause. The universe is an effect. It must have a cause. This is only logic. But you see, what the people who have bought into the lie don't realize is that it's illogical. God is logical. The lie is illogical, and yet, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There's no doubt that when a nation or a person or a family suppresses the clear, revealed truth of God, things get darker. They became claimed to be wise. They became fools. It's sad. Next week, we're going to get very specific about what that darkness looks like. Because frankly, my friends, you and I both know, we're in it. We're in it. And we as believers can't just wring our hands and say, oh, where are we going? Because you know what? In spite of the rejection of the truth, we still have the truth, do we not? We are still being transformed by the truth, are we not? We still have the gospel to take to the darkening world, do we not? And that is going to be our task still. And even more powerfully and more necessarily in a darkening world. You are the light of the world. So we go and we teach. There's at least an implication so far, and we're going to see this very powerfully next week, that God is stepping back and allowing those who are suppressing His truth to experience the fullness of the darkness that such a choice brings. There's at least an implication in these early verses as people become fools and pursue the darkness and its deepening. There is at least an implication that God is going to pull, is pulling back. And we're going to see that next week and as we unpack this terrible phrase, God gave them over. So come next week. I'll be here. There is one more general activity, though, that we need to look at of people under God's wrath. And that is this. Those in deepening darkness invent substitutes for God. We have a God need. We have a need for greater significance than ourselves. And so in that, look at verses 22 and 23. Although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And in that foolishness then, exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Of course, what Paul is referring to here is idolatry, right? Idolatry. We're going to worship this stone. We're going to worship this tree. We're going to worship these spirits. And people do this around the world. One of the most interesting places I've traveled to is Mongolia. And in Mongolia, when you get off the plane and get in your car, they drove me up to near the Siberian border. And when I got there, but all the while when you're driving, you see these pieces of blue cloth everywhere. They're on this tree and on that tree. And then there's one big tree there that's called the spirit tree that's just festooned with just hundreds of pounds of these blue cloths. And I said to the missionary who I was with, what are these blue cloths? Well, it's part of their animistic religion. They believe in spirits. Now, the spirits in Mongolia are nice, not like the spirits in Papua New Guinea that are mean. The spirits in Mongolia are nice, but they still do bad things. They're kind of like tricky. So you've got to constantly pay them off with these blue cloths, and then by throwing tea out the window of your car. And then the third thing is when your child gets his first haircut, you take the hair and you throw it to the spirits. So they've invented these other things, and they will have these little monuments. Like if their horse dies, you know, one of their horses, then they'll cut the head off of it and stick it up into a tree as a payment to the spirits to leave the rest of their horses alone. It's a very interesting phenomenon. But that's what people do. When people walk away from the truth, they will embrace something else. They will make up a different God for them. In our nation, we have two gods. Science and entertainment, right? Those are our gods. All a person has to do to be believed is to say, scientists say. And we're done. Scientists say it, they must be true. Scientists say that there are two little spots, reflective spots, on the Pluto's moon, Ceres, and that must be water. That must be methane. That must be able to produce or sustain life. They can't get around to the producing life yet, but they figure if they can find water, at least sustain life, even though the life really couldn't have been born there because it's so silly. That's why Carl Sagan years ago came up with the idea of panspermia, that that the seeds of life were seeded into the universe by comets. And some of them landed here on the earth and in the presence of water became you and me. It's very comforting. But the fact of the matter is that still, even if their life was seeded by a comet, you still had to produce it in the first place. One chance in 10, followed by 40,000 zeros. You going to bet on that one? I don't think so. Of course, you're Baptist. You don't bet anyway. Neither do I. And entertainers. If an entertainer says something, so makes some political statement, then it must be true. It must be true. We have our gods. We have our gods. I remember the breathless excitement, maybe you do too, that when they came home with the moon rocks, some scientist took one of the moon rocks home, and he and his wife were looking at it at the kitchen table, and they saw this. And they saw that. And the wife said, "It's a worm." And you know what it was? A rock. Not even a petrified worm. Just a rock that looked like a worm. And you've seen these things from Mars, haven't you? The rodents that they're finding on Mars. Until they look closer. It's a rock. It looks like a rodent. It's like here in Prescott, if you see a nice cloud. Oh, look, a horse. Is it a horse? No, it just looks like a horse. It's not a horse. And give it 5 minutes, it'll look like a giraffe. God, when God removes restraints as part of wrath, the darkness deepens. And when the darkness deepens, man will invent other truths to worship, because man wants to worship something. I have an article that I'm going to refer to next week about a woman whose husband came up with a new theory called the dark matter theory of the universe, that the light is only 1% of the population of the mass of the earth, of the universe. All the rest of it is dark matter. And she has, in the process of that atheistic theory of his, has come up with a reinvention of God that you will find very interesting. But look, here's the bottom line for us, brothers and sisters. In the face of the deepening darkness that we live in, and I'm just talking about the United States, the rest of the world has been in deepening darkness really for a long time. And the United States, I believe, is probably the last, is the country in the history of the world, other than perhaps Israel under King David, the United States is the country that has known the most of God's, what's called common grace, most of His kindness, mercy, grace, than any other country in the world. Because to some extent, we aligned ourselves with God. We have as the motto of our nation, "In God we trust." You know what I think the motto of the nation is now? What's God got to do with it? If ever a country deserved to have the grace of God withdrawn from it, it is ours. But remember this. Remember this. God's wrath has a purpose. As a student of the book of Revelation, I recognize that book is full of wrath. And yet the wrath of God in Revelation is full of purpose. It's God is revealing Himself so clearly that nobody can mistake it. And He continually says, "Don't believe the liar. Believe me. Put your faith in Jesus. He's the one who is coming to judge. Put your faith in Him." And it's throughout the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, God's wrath has a purpose. And it's not just to kill people. It is to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. Every person in here, we all have a mission. If we have the Holy Spirit of God living with us through faith in Jesus Christ. We all have a mission. And that is to reach out to your neighbors, to reach out to those who would be normally your enemies. You know who lives next door to us in Chandler? Iranian Muslims live right next door. And it is our goal with us, and their goal is with us as well, and our goal with them is to outdo each other in being kind. Of course, they got to compete with my wife, and that's awfully hard. She is awfully kind. But we are seeking, and we've had an opportunity to share the gospel with them. And it's been great. But here's, it would be easy to say, oh, these are our enemies. Hey, newsflash, people are not your enemy. Satan is our enemy. And he has captured our neighbors. And they are manifesting the lie. Our goal is not to hate them. Our goal, our purpose is not to destroy them. Our purpose is to take the gospel to them. And in days of deepening darkness, our light is going to shine brighter and brighter. Amen?
Amen.
Don't be afraid of the wrath of God. The wrath of God has a purpose. The wrath of God leaves people to say, okay, you want to experience the fullness of the consequences of the lie, I'm going to let you do that. And we'll talk about that next week. But our purpose is always the same. Wrath or no wrath, our purpose is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord God, our task is getting harder. Our government is about the suppression of truth, it seems like, many times. Our school system about the suppression of truth. And we know that the truth is what will save people. We know that the truth is what will rescue people from their captivity. Lord God, may we, in our little corner of the world, in our neighborhood, in our job, in our community, may we be the light of the world. And not only in what we say, but in the loving attitude that we display. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.